Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Coming up, we're going to hear Florida This Week, which is a panel discussion about some of the big state and local stories from the past week. We're going to talk about Polk County turning itself into a gun sanctuary. We're also going to talk about what the state legislature has been doing for the past week. And as we play back Florida This Week, we want to get your comments. But first, four listener comments about last Friday's program. Last Friday, we got a call from a supporter of President Trump who defended the president and said that there is very little that anybody could say to him to defer him from voting for president this November. After that program, we got these four phone calls from listeners.
Kelly from Ybor, and I'm surprised that it didn't come up after that man's call about Trump would have to rape someone or kill someone. He has been accused by probably over 25 women now of outright rape, sexual assault, grabbing, kissing, all sorts of things, and no one believes him, or at least the Trump supporters don't believe him. So I think even if he killed someone, they would not believe it. That's all I have to say.
This is Kevin commenting on Friday's show, and I wanted to make a point about the Trump callers, especially the guy that could see nothing wrong that Trump has done. You know, he's made promises before, and there was always these signs at his rallies that would say, promises made, promises kept. Well, here's something else that he has promised. Trump has promised, he has said, that Mexico will pay for the wall, that he would get the U.S. out of Iraq, that he would fix health care, that the tax cuts would pay for themselves, that manufacturing jobs would come back to the USA, and on and on. And I'm asking the Trump supporters to decide.
This is Jeff from Tarpon Springs. I tried calling your show, but the line was jammed. Everybody wanted to get their 2 cents in on Bob, and so do I. That gentleman has been following somebody blindly. I think some folks did that years ago from California. They went to Guyana with a gentleman named Jim Jones, and good things didn't happen. And to quote Bruce Springsteen, to follow somebody blindly will get you killed. I'm sorry, it's a cult, apparently.
Yeah, this is Ron in West Tampa. Last Friday, Rob, you had a caller on your show. His name was Bob. And Bob spoke of some things regarding Trump. He said that President Trump is basically the best that we can do at this time. And he voted for Trump because he felt that that was the best person for him. He acknowledged that, yes, he's a reality show host. And we who support him, we like everything he's doing. And he also said that Trump is not a politician. Well, let me just say first, yes, Bob, Trump is a politician because he is the president of the United States in federal government, okay? And yes, he is a reality show host formerly, and he is a made-up persona. He has cult followers, not supporters. And that's what concerns me about cult followers, the blind allegiance they have. What also concerns me is that people like that seem so willfully, almost joyfully submissive to him, and the ways that Trump acts, which to me speaks to his being a cult leader as opposed to being a measured and thoughtful statesman. I'll tell you, these years have been really fascinating but troubling to me because it's kind of a journey into the collective psyche of our country, and it makes me wonder what our society is going to morph into in the years to come.
There you have several listener comments that came in after last Friday's Radioactivity program. We're about to hear Florida This Week from this past Friday night. It's a show that airs on WEDU-TV, the PBS station in town. Features a panel of local people discussing state and local issues. And as we listen back to this program, please email your comments about the topics and the discussion to this address, dj@wmnf.org. Here's Florida This Week. Coming up next, there's a plan in Tallahassee to make some information about lawmakers secret. The legislature moves to put more restrictions on abortion. Polk County votes to declare itself a Second Amendment gun sanctuary. And a proposal to tax companies that bottle Florida's spring water fails. Political Insights next on Florida This Week. Welcome back. This week, our panelists are Patrick Mantega is the editor and publisher of La Gazzetta and a Democrat. George Credicos is the mayor of Clearwater and a Republican. Tara Newsom is an attorney and professor at St. Petersburg College. And Ray Roa is the editor-in-chief of Creative Loafing in Tampa. Well, it's so nice to have you all here. Thank you for having us. Well, this week, a Florida Senate committee gave the go-ahead to a bill that would make secret basic details about state lawmakers and their spouses. It's Senate Bill 832. It would give lawmakers and cabinet members the same level of secrecy granted to police officers and judges, making their home addresses, telephone numbers, and dates of birth private. The Times-Herald Bureau in Tallahassee reports that under the bill, the personal information and places of employment of their spouses and children would also be exempt. Four Republicans voted for and three Democrats voted against the bill, which was sponsored by State Senator Kelly Stargell of Lakeland. She said the exemption was needed because of threats made to lawmakers, but she did not cite any Florida examples. The bill still has to pass two more committees before making it to the floor. Providing such a broad exemption would be a major setback for Florida's public records law, which makes a wide variety of state and local government records open to the public. Knowing a lawmaker's home address and a spouse's employer are critical starting points to uncovering conflicts of interest and other potential wrongdoing. The disclosures are also ways to determine whether the lawmaker lives in the district that they represent. So, Ray, it looks like they're trying to balance public safety with Florida's famous open records laws. Which side do you come down on?
I mean, so there's inherent risk in everything we do, right? And there have been times, not so much in our office now, our old office, I could see somebody coming into the newsroom and causing damage. It's happened before. But, you know, cops face different occupational hazards than politicians, with no disrespect to you, Mayor. And to try to equate the two or bring them together seems a little bit distracting. And let's not forget that Stargell, who is behind this, is the same person. I think it was last year. The assault rifles ban mentioned that thoughts and prayers would be the only thing that could stop an evil person from creating havoc with an assault rifle. So here she is trying to legislate that we don't know where our elected officials live. These laws protect citizens from their elected officials. And even DeSantis doesn't seem too warm on this. He seems to want people to be able to look that kind of stuff up. And I don't know that this one will pass, but my understanding is there's a lot of legislation on the table that would allow politicians to operate in the dark, so someone's going to get a win at some point, I think, here.
George, you're an elected official. Do you feel, I mean, do elected officials need to have this kind of privacy for their own security?
The thought had never crossed my mind. I'm an elected official. You want people to know who you are. You want them to have access to you, but I don't have any children. My wife and I don't have any children. So maybe, you know, that's something behind this, especially in today's society. Right. But I'm not concerned with people knowing where I live. I remember years ago, you know, being told if you can't do it in front of First Avenue South and 4th Street, don't do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Times is located, you know. Right. And I still live by that, that whatever we do is open, should have access, people should be able to reach you.
And Patrick, these addresses, for instance, are a basic tool of all reporters as somebody's filing to run for office or maybe legislation comes up and you're trying to determine where the spouse works of an elected official.
Well, when you're running for office, first of all, you have to live in a district. Currently, there is no supervisor of election, division of elections, who actually checks to verify this. So the only group that does this is the news media or your opponent. So if you eliminate this, then there has to be some other law that requires divisions of elections to take responsibility, because currently they don't. We do. But, you know, we're all at risk. You know, I've been threatened before. You know, I have a lot of people that dislike me, you know, and so I'm sure even a bigger line than Stargell. But this is unnecessary. It does prevent us from doing job. It prevents us on checking on nepotism, a whole list of other things. It's unneeded. It's unnecessary. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Tara, what do you think?
Pulitzer Prize winner Connie Schultz, who's married to U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio, opined in an article this week, a perfect discussion. They said, in public, we are the publics. We want to hear from our constituents. She referenced a discussion about Costco and how when they go to Costco, they like to hear from their constituents, those that are on the same side of the aisle as them and those that aren't. They're citizen legislators. They believe in that. And I think in a part-time legislature like Florida, this is a great opportunity to hear from all of us. And I think if the politics get too contentious, maybe they need to moderate their politics.
Mm-hmm. So, Ray, you think that this may not pass this year based on...
I mean, if Ron DeSantis is speaking to Patrick's point that you need to know where your elected official lives to make sure that he or she is representing the district which they claim to, if DeSantis isn't about it, then how's it going to go? So it feels like a waste of time in a way.
George, what does a public official do when they get a threat? Let's say that you get a hostile email or a hostile letter. Generally, how do you handle it?
Most of the time, those that we've received are anonymous, and so they go into the trash can. But if there's any idea that we think there's some seriousness to it, we give it to the police. In Clearwater's case, we give it to the police department. I know in Washington, when I was working with Congressman Young, it goes to the security to the security at the Capitol Police and the FBI.
So there is some mechanism.
Yeah.
All right. Well, a bill that would require girls under the age of 18 to get a parent's consent before having an abortion is ready for a full vote in the Florida Senate. The bill was approved this week, clearing the last committee it needed. Florida already has a law that requires parents to be notified before a girl can have an abortion. The new bill would require that a parent sign and date a notarized document giving their permission for the procedure. A girl could ask a judge for a waiver if she is a victim of abuse or incest. Democrats argued that it was an unnecessary attempt to further erode abortion rights. So, Tara, this issue seems to come up every session of the legislature, but it seems to be fast-tracked, at least in the Senate this time.
I think this is the race to the U.S. Supreme Court, and Florida legislature wants to be first. And you can just look at DeSantis's three very conservative appointees to the Florida Supreme Court, coupling with our former conservatives and seeing the tipping of the balance in the Florida Supreme Court to be more conservative. And so certainly this law doesn't fundamentally change what's already been on the books in Florida, although it does criminalize physicians going from, I believe it was changing it from a third degree felony. So it's criminalizing physicians and hurting, those women in trauma. And so to me, this is less about necessarily abortion rights as it is the legislature positioning themselves with the Supreme Court and being the first in line to get to the U.S. Supreme Court, which we now, of course, have Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh and many of the Republicans hoping this readies the base for the 2020 election.
And puts the nail in the coffin of Roe v. Wade.
Well, it at least positions them to be Florida to be the ones that does it.
George, do we need this legislation? What's your take on it?
I'm Orthodox Christian. I don't believe in abortions. But I also have a problem telling somebody else that they cannot have one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Patrick, the legislature, this issue does come up every year in the legislature. What's your sense of how it's going to go in the House, assuming that
I think it's going to pass. I think it has a chance of getting a signature from the governor and becoming law. I think that, just like with guns, when you have a Republican-controlled governor, Senate, House, and now a Republican-controlled Supreme Court in Florida, there's just nothing that gets in the way of this thing. And I think that there is going to be a lot of things to race the Supreme Court, because while we've had a Republican-controlled government for a long time, the Supreme Court has still been held by a Democratic majority. This is the first time in as long as I can ever remember that there has been a Republican majority on the Supreme Court. And so you're going to see a lot of this. In fact, I'm surprised it isn't worse.
Hmm. I just have to offer this kind of irony, though. In the same week that our Florida Supreme Court has decided that there no longer needs a unanimous decision in order to sentence someone to the death penalty, we are also entertaining at least three bills. This is one of three bills that restrict a woman's right to reproductive freedom. And that shows, I think, a certain amount of inconsistency in the Republican Party. And I think Floridians are very smart. They, if Democrats can offer that information up in a way that they can you know, take on, they're going to see that inconsistency.
Mm-hmm. Ray, this seems to target young women, and underage girls, uh-huh. and make it harder for them to get an abortion. What's your take on it?
You know, it's interesting to hear the phrase women in trauma, and I'll be the first to say, you know, I agree with you. I'm a Catholic, and, you know, my values say, okay, abortion is wrong, but I'm not going to stop somebody from doing that. And when you say a woman in trauma, I think it was Human Rights Watch. They interviewed young women who had retained a lawyer to try and get one of these waivers. And these women were scared of being alienated from their family, beaten. Some of them are scared to be forced to go through the pregnancy. And you know, Stargell is a teenage mother herself, and she's brought that up and said this may strengthen the family to force them to have this discussion. But some people don't even have that structure in their life. So I like that you framed it as a woman in trauma, because we have to remember that our lives are pretty good. And a lot of people's lives certainly are not. And it's crazy people would legislate and try to take that reproductive rights, you know, away from somebody who...
You cannot politicize reproductive freedom. And that's what Roe v. Wade, after 45 years, stands for, is not making it a non-secular issue. And so we need to honor that.
Okay. Well, the Polk County Commission approved a resolution this week affirming its support for gun rights, including language declaring the county a Second Amendment sanctuary. The vote came after 12 people spoke out in favor of the sanctuary measure. It's not clear what it means for Polk to become a sanctuary city when it comes to firearms. Some of the backers were concerned about the state's so-called red flag law passed after the Parkland massacre. That law allows local law enforcement to seek a court order called a risk protection order to seize firearms from persons it believes might use them against themselves or the community. Some gun rights advocates say the red flag law gives law enforcement too much power. However, the Polk vote may have little impact because the state legislature has passed a preemption law barring local governments from passing any local gun laws that supersede state law. So, George, in there, I call it a sanctuary city. Well, it's called a sanctuary county, which is what it is. But so what does it mean? What do you think this means? Is this a symbolic vote to show that the county commission is on the side of the NRA and other gun groups?
The legislature doesn't like us saying that they take away our preempt our powers of local and county governments. So we won't go down that path. I think personally that this is an overreaction. No one is talking about taking your gun away. All we're doing is trying to make it safer for people with this red flag, to make sure that if somebody needs help and has a weapon, that they get that help that they need.
That red flag is already in existence. That red flag law is already in existence here in Florida.
Exactly.
It's being used right now.
It's being used right now. You know, yes, maybe it's being overused in certain areas, and I think Polk County was number one, you know, in the overuse. But wouldn't you rather have somebody stopped and questioned before something like a Parkland occurs rather than after?
This is no different than the patent frisk discussion, except that there is actually reasonable cause, not probable cause, but reasonable cause that allows the police. But there's a mechanism. There is due process that's built into it, and it's only for a short amount of time.
It's a temporary order.
Then the person that is having their right to firearms taken away has a right within a certain amount of time to respond. This is an illusory argument by the NRA to be relevant. They want, just like what's happening in Virginia, to become such an emboldened idea, because they're really facing a growing number of Floridians, at least, that want reasonable gun regulations but still own a gun.
The threat to pass a similar law, or a red flag law, in Virginia drew out all those protesters this week.
That's right, but I think that the attention on Florida's red flag laws actually is trying to stymie the movement of gun owners who want reasonable gun regulation. That's real. There's many of us in Florida who are lawful owners of guns, who enjoy hunting and also for self-defense, and believe in gun regulation. And so this is an illusion by the NRA because they're losing power.
Ray, within the last few weeks, both Polk County and Highlands County, where Sebring is, looked at this issue. Polk County voted yes. Highlands voted no, not to make themselves a sanctuary county.
Yeah, I mean, I think about it in the context of our paper and how we'd have to not poke fun, but just talk about how ludicrous it is that in Polk County now, when you talk about the context of sanctuary city, the Second Amendment has more supporters than immigrants do, right? So, yeah, it's interesting. I agree with everything you said. I think people, for the most part, want reasonable gun legislation. And you mentioned the Virginia, but I still am of the belief that that group, people who like to wear guns in public, go to rallies, is a very vocal minority still. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see it tested on a ballot, maybe. I don't know.
So, Patrick, what do you think the implications of Polk County taking this vote, the county commission taking this vote are?
This is paying lip service to the gun people in Polk County. You know, currently there's an effort in Tallahassee to close the gun show loophole. So does this mean that in Polk County they're going to resist closing the gun show loophole, that they will allow sales, private sales, person-to-person sales during a gun show on the floor of the convention center there to not have to go through background checks? This is ridiculous. This is, I'm just surprised that Polk County doesn't have better things to do with its government than to pass these kinds of stupid laws.
So, and there are two prominent Republicans that want some sort of gun control legislation passed in Tallahassee, Tom Lee and Bill Galvano.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was with Tom Lee just a couple of days ago in his office, and he believes he can get it through the Senate. And this is a great move towards this, and this isn't taking anybody's guns away. This is, double checking to make sure you're lawful, being able to lawfully carry a gun. This is trying to create some sort of a little paperwork so that when you sell a private gun privately sell a gun, that you have to take a little moment to breathe and say, I've got to now say that I think this guy's okay to sell a gun to, or girl. And all of a sudden you say, well, do I really want this liability? Do I think this guy really is okay? And so I think these are reasonable steps by reasonable people. But of course, in Polk County, obviously, they would like to stir things up. And I don't know why they didn't go out and shoot in the air and celebrate.
I'll play devil's advocate on that and say, I think we had talked about in Polk County had the highest number of RPOs. And if I was somebody who loved my guns and my Second Amendment rights, if I saw that statistic that in my county it's higher than anywhere in Florida, I would go to a meeting.
You
perhaps.
Know what's so great, though? We have something so wonderful called the United States Supreme Court. In 2008, they decided a case called D.C. versus Heller, which says you have a constitutional right to have a gun. And so I have faith in our institutions.
Yeah, I think it'll work out.
But they also have a very conservative sheriff, so obviously he's okay with a lot of this stuff. And they might just have a lot of guns, and that's the reason why they have to have
these things.
I haven't anybody say, oh, here's a horrible case where they took my gun and I didn't deserve it.
Right.
Even if you just get a restraining order, you're not allowed to have a gun if you have a restraining order against you. So there's a lot of reasons why you can't have a gun.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, there was an effort in the state legislature to impose a 12.5 cent per gallon tax on water bottled from Florida springs. But it was tabled this week before facing the possibility of defeat in a split Senate Commerce and Tourism Committee. The bill was sponsored by Annette Tadeo, a Miami Democrat. She views spring water as a precious, limited natural resource. She blamed pressure from special interests for blocking the bill. The bill was written after Nestle Water North America announced plans to increase the amount of water it takes daily from Ginny Springs, which feeds into the Santa Fe River. Currently, companies are only charged a one-time $115 application fee to withdraw water. Opponents of the measure said it would result in the loss of jobs, and some bottled water companies would have to leave the state.
Patrick, is there a public interest in imposing a tax on bottled water, on withdrawals from the Florida Springs?
No, this actually was somebody who made the excuse that agriculture is afraid they'll be next. But agriculture doesn't pump surface water out of rivers rarely, and I don't know of any springs that are pumped by agricultural interests. So this is kind of a fake fear issue. I was with Janet Cruz when they tabled that.
She was one of the sponsors of the bill.
Yes, a few minutes after that. She has her own bill to do some of this stuff. And this is, I don't think a lot of people really understand what this is. Currently, taking water out of a spring, a surface withdrawal, is probably the worst way of getting bottled water. Better ways are to use a municipal supply. Tampa has bottled water companies that use its supply, and therefore they're taxed per gallon or charged per gallon because the city pumps it and sells it to them. By going out in the middle of nowhere and pumping out of a spring, you get around this tax. So what we're trying to do is make it not advantageous to pump water out of springs. and make it of equal standing with pumping water out of a municipal supply. You know, when you take it out of a spring, it can't flow down the river, it can't nourish the river, the fish can't swim in it. And because of this, we've also been locking springs down behind fences and not letting people swim in them and enjoy them. We've lost many a swimming hole in Hillsborough County. Well, there's no place to swim in a spring anymore.
George, the supporters of this idea make the comparison. It's like drawing oil from the ground or coal from the ground. And in those states that have oil and coal, they charge a mineral tax on mining companies. Does a tax like this make sense?
Well, first off, I don't drink bottled water because I just think it's a waste of money.
Yeah.
What I would rather do is consider taxing the plastic bottle that they go in, making sure that that doesn't end up causing a problem to our environment.
Which is also a big
which
problem.
Which is a bigger problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, this again is one of those issues that, you know, don't we have better things to do? You know,
it's crazy to want to charge someone $115 to have access to hundreds of millions of gallons of water and then not to calculate the cost of what that will do to our fragile Florida ecosystem, combine that with fracking, combine it with being on a peninsula and a water shortage, and then not to mention the cost of how to recycle the plastic that it'll be. This is totally insane. Why doesn't our state legislature pay attention to monetizing solar? That would be great. I would love that.
Mm-hmm. Ray, Patrick raises a good point. Estuaries, you know, the more fresh water goes into the river, the healthier the estuary. You take fresh water out of the river, less healthy the estuary.
Yeah, I think I like Patrick's take on this. And earlier he had talked about the anthropological standpoint, and you talk about swimming holes, and you look at the B-roll, it's beautiful Florida.
Yeah.
And it is strange that we're even having the discussion. Did we have this discussion in 2009 also with the 6 cent tax?
Well, with Crystal Springs, there was a big discussion here in the 90s about whether or not Crystal Springs in Hillsborough County should be.
It was a swimming hole, and then Nestle got a hold of it, and it's got a big pipe, runs right into it, and nobody sees it anymore.
And there's a fence around it.
And it's a fence around it, and we've lost many of these. Nestle's done this across the country and across the world.
All right. Well, before we go, what other news story should we be paying attention to? And, George, let's start with you, your other big story of the week.
I guess in Clearwater would be we're having some local elections coming up.
I hear about that.
And despite the elections, there are also some amendments to our charter that I hope people will also consider.
Vote turnout is low in a municipal election sometimes, and this year it might be a problem.
Municipal elections don't have a good turnout, but I think that it's better for them to stand on their own than to be in November with the presidential and the national elections, because then they really do get lost because they're at the bottom of the ballot. So I'm a very strong proponent of having municipal elections at a separate time and just encourage people that it doesn't matter when the election is, vote.
Absolutely. Ray, your other big story?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a story of the week, but we're sitting here in WEDU across from Julian B. Lane Park and Tampa Heights FL meant affordable housing and holding developers, especially newspapers, holding developers responsible to talk about whether or not they're going to have affordable housing mixed into some of these things. I'm excited to see what happens with this opportunity zone investigation and whether or not that'll arrive here in Tampa. So I think that's something to watch going forward.
All right, Tara, you're on the big story.
Well, we've been talking about Nestle and corporate responsibility, so let's get some good news. The female CEO of Patagonia this week took all of the savings that she received from the tax cut, the Trump tax cut, and put it towards climate change advocates to try to make change in that area. And I think it just goes to show that there are some good corporate responsibility players and actors, and that maybe it takes a woman to take us forward.
How about that? Good to know. Patrick, your other big story.
Representative Fine is trying to kill public notices. Currently, public notices appear in newspapers. They appear online. There's a central gathering place for all of them in the state, and he wants to change that whole system. It's a system that's lasted over 100 years, and he just wants the government to put them wherever they want to.
And that would have a big impact on the newspaper industry.
You know, it would be just one more nail in a coffin that's got too many nails in it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you all for a great show. Thanks for watching Florida This Week. We want to remind you that the deadline to register to vote in the Florida primary is Tuesday, February 18th. The Florida primary will be held on Tuesday, March 17th.
And be sure to join us on Friday, February 28th at 9 p.m. for a program called Casting Your Vote, a Florida This Week special.
Well, that was Florida This Week from this past Friday night on WEDU-TV, the PBS station in Tampa. And my guests on that panel were Tara Nelson, a professor from St. Pete College, George Kretikos, the mayor of Clearwater. He was the Republican on the panel. The Democrat on the panel was Patrick Mantega from Ybor City, from the newspaper La Gazzetta. And Ray Roa was a journalist on the panel. Ray is the editor at Creative Loafing and also a programmer here on WMNF. We talked about the lawmakers attempting to keep their addresses secret. These are Tallahassee lawmakers. And we also talked about further restrictions on abortion, especially for teenagers who are underage. We talked about the Polk County Commission voting itself to be a gun sanctuary county. And we talked about a failed attempt to put a tax on bottled water companies that withdraw water from Florida Springs. If you want to comment about any of these, you can email us or call us. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And our phone number is 813-239-9663. Well, we got a bunch of emails in. Charles in Tampa said, this idea about concealing politicians' records to allow them to operate in the dark is just another Republican attempt to make sure that rules and laws do not apply to Republicans. That's a Charles view out there. Nathaniel's view is that for 30-plus years, I've been listening to Florida politicians tell me that more guns will make us safer. We have more guns now everywhere than before. By their logic, they shouldn't be afraid of anything, so they must be trying to hide something else when they want to hide their addresses, writes Nathaniel. And then this email from Doug in Clearwater said, I wasn't going to text today, but here I am. Let Nestle's go out of state if they don't want to pay the 12.5 cents per gallon tax. In fact, let's just ask them to leave. The elected officials hold the power. Remember that elected officials. And Doug goes on to write, who likes giving the spring water away for free? Please call your legislator, says Doug in Clearwater. And then David writes this, I was very disappointed to see that the Florida legislature is trying to ban sunscreens in the Keys and I think other places. It's a myopic view of our environment and our aquatic life. We need to save the coral reefs, but Senator Rob Bradley from Fleming Island gives zero crap about that. He's only concerned about sunscreen manufacturers and their poison profits. Yeah, we covered that story last week on Florida This Week, and there are two chemicals widely used in sunscreens that have been associated with damage to coral reefs. And the city of Key West has said, we don't really want to sell those sunscreens because we have off our coast some beautiful coral reefs and we don't want to further damage them. So the legislature is stepping in and some in the legislature want to ban Key West from banning any kind of sunscreen. And they say that Key West would be out of bounds to do it. So we'll see where that debate goes. Lots of efforts in Tallahassee over the years to tell local communities what laws they can and cannot pass. Chip writes, shouldn't your guests apply the same argumentative logic to sanctuary cities regarding illegal aliens? That's Chip's email from there. I'm not sure that many of my guests there supported the idea of a sanctuary city for or sanctuary county for guns. They were kind of skeptical about what it would accomplish. But Chip, thank you very much for your email. Well, this is WMNF in Tampa. There's a lot of news going on otherwise, too, and I'm going to bring up some other stories that we might talk about. But if there's something in the news that you want to bring up, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. In the next hour, Sean Canan is going to have an in-depth discussion about growth here in Florida and development, and what's the best kind of development and growth to have. He'll have a debate with four people on the program, giving various views about development, so stick around for that. I'll mention a few other stories. The stakes over witnesses at President Trump's impeachment trial are rising now that a draft of a book from former National Security Advisor John Bolton appears to undercut a key defense argument of the president's. Bolton writes in the forthcoming book that Trump told him that he wanted to withhold security aid from Ukraine until it helped Trump with politically charged investigations, including into Democratic rival Joe Biden. Trump's legal team has repeatedly insisted that the Republican president never tied the suspension of Ukraine military assistance to investigations into Biden and his son. The Trump defense continues when the trial resumes today at 1 p.m. WMNF is carrying it live on our HD3 channel, The Source. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Nick in St. Petersburg. Hey, Nick, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, as far as that sunscreen goes, several years ago I bought some name brand sunscreen, looked at the ingredients and looked them up on Google, and I was like, wow, this is poison. So I did a little bit of research. Zinc oxide is the product that's safe for us to use, won't destroy the coral reefs. There's a product called Badger, B-A-D-G-E-R. It's the safest one I could find. I don't know if you guys mentioned safer products when you had that show.
No, we didn't, but thank you. And people should look up safer products, Nick. I agree with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right, good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. And, email address is dj@wmnf.org. I certainly am not an expert on sunscreen chemicals, but I know that there's a lot of websites out there that talk about the best kinds and safest kinds of sunscreen for the environment and for your skin, too. So not every sunscreen is made equally, and Nick makes a good point. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Well, this news about that impending Palestinian-Israeli peace plan, Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Shtayyeh has rejected the Trump administration's anticipated peace proposal, the so-called deal of the century, as the president has called it. The prime minister of the Palestinian territory says the deal will not resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and comes from a party which has lost its credibility. The long-awaited peace plan is widely expected to heavily favor Israel over the Palestinians. President Trump invited Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to Washington, D.C. today, and there they're set to unveil the plan tomorrow. The plan had no input from the Palestinians, who cut off ties with the White House 2 years ago after Trump recognized contested Jerusalem as Israel's capital without consulting the Palestinians. Michael Bloomberg is vowing not to revisit U.S. aid to Israel as he makes his case for the presidency to fellow Jewish Americans in Florida. It's an approach in contrast to several of his Democratic rivals, including Bernie Sanders, the presidential race's other Jewish candidate. Bloomberg's remarks came in a Sunday speech in Miami aimed at Jewish Americans. His wide-ranging speech touched on acts of violence against Jews, criticism of President Trump's withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal, and Bloomberg's own vow for a strong defense of Israel. Just reading some of the big news stories of the day. Stock markets are down heavily as China announced sharp increases in the number of people affected by an outbreak of a potentially deadly virus. Indexes were down more than 2% in Europe after losses in Asia this morning, though many markets in the region were closed for the Lunar New Year holiday. China announced it was extending its week-long public holiday for the Lunar New Year by an extra 3 days to help prevent the virus from spreading. Authorities reported that 2,700 people have been sickened by the virus and 60 have been killed by the new coronavirus first found in the central Chinese city of Wuhan. And a Hillsborough deputy over the weekend fatally shot a dog after it attacked a police horse following the Gasparilla Parade on Saturday. Hillsborough County Sheriff's authorities say the pit bull broke free and charged at the horses 3 times on Saturday. The area was crowded for Tampa's annual pirate celebration, and several officers were patrolling the parade on mounted horses. A deputy tried to taser the dog but was not successful. Another deputy on horseback shot the dog when it returned and bit a second horse. Authorities said the dog's owner is homeless and was hospitalized involuntarily after the shooting for allegedly threatening deputies. And again, if you want to comment about any of these stories, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And you can send an email into the studio. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, Florida inmate advocates say a state Supreme Court decision involving the death penalty has thrown between 100 to 150 death penalty cases into legal limbo. Last week, the Florida Supreme Court said it made a mistake in 2016 when it ruled a jury must be unanimous in deciding a defendant convicted of murder should be sentenced to death. A day later, lawyers and anti-death penalty advocates were scrambling to determine what this means for existing cases that are in the sentencing phase. Miami-based attorney Terrence Lenneman says that there are questions about how the ruling will affect existing cases in the resentencing phase. That decision by the Florida Supreme Court was made by the new court, which has now a solid conservative majority. And hundreds of employees are openly criticizing Amazon's record on climate change, despite what they say is a company policy that puts their jobs at risk for speaking out. Yesterday, more than 300 employees of the online retail giant signed their names and job titles to statements on a blog post on Medium. The online protest was organized by a group called Amazon Employees for Climate Justice, an advocacy group founded by Amazon workers that earlier this month said the company had sent letters to its members threatening to fire them if they continued to speak out to the press. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Let's go to Richard in Tampa. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind? What would you like to comment about?
Hey, Rob, a couple things I'd like to touch on. The Democratic Party was out in my neighborhood knocking on my door and trying to get my wife to register to be able to vote online or mail-in ballot. So I just want to let you know they're out, you know, reaching out to people and doing their job. So that's a good thing. And the other thing I'd like to touch on is I've taken my own little poll recently, and I know a lot of people, and I have friends that are Republicans, and I've asked them the question, you know, just a straightforward question, why are you supporting this president? And they all come back with the same answer, because my 401k is up, my stocks are up. It's all their financial gains are up to do with this president. They had nothing positive to say. And when I asked him about all his tweets and the way he acts, the way he talks, the way he treats people, a lot of them could either comment to agree or not to agree. So, and then I did run into a couple people that actually belonged to factions of the Ku Klux Klan down here in Florida. And I was told that they communicate online and with code and all kinds of other things that recently came out on the news. The guy was blaming everything on the Jews, saying that the Jews have all the money and all the problems in our country are the Jews. And I tried to retort to the guy and say, you know, the 1% of the control and all the money in this country, they're not all Jewish. They're from a lot of different other types of religions and other foreign countries and from other places. So anyway,
Richard, what neighborhood, could I ask what neighborhood you live in where you're running into Klan members?
Actually, I was at an express employment. Oh. For an interview, mm-hmm. And I ran into a guy. He was from Savannah, Georgia, and he was from Jacksonville, and he was a welder. And he started talking to me, and he opened up to me, and he didn't realize I was Jewish. And he blamed everything in this country on the Jews. So, I mean, like, you know, so people...
What do you do in a situation like that where, you know, the person is attacking your faith? What do you do?
Well, I was very cordial and polite to him, and I just wanted him to enlighten him and maybe correct his viewpoint that the 1% of the rich people in this country that control everything, they're not all Jewish. So
yeah. I haven't looked at statistics recently, but I remember looking this up years ago, and it was like Episcopalians and Presbyterians were in the top. They were the big money managers and billionaires. I don't know what the numbers are today, but clearly we have a very diverse country. I don't know what Warren Buffett's religion is, but I don't think he's Jewish. Yeah.
What about all the facts? Where are these people getting their facts to believe in this stuff? I it's not It's not. They're blinded. They're blinded by hatred.
Well, there is this ancient hatred, and this is one of those hatreds that survives. And there's also hatred against African Americans. There used to be hatred against the Roman Catholics and Italians, and for a time Germans in this country. That's all pretty much evaporated. But these two longstanding hatreds,
homosexuals for years.
Oh yeah,
through the history of time, were persecuted. Okay, and now they're put up on a high pedestal. Same types of things. The Indians, what they was done to the Indians, and now the Indians don't pay taxes, and they have this high and mighty statute in our country to do with these casinos and everything and all the money that they rake in, and they don't give back nothing to our local communities. You go out by the Hard Rock here in Tampa, and you go look in that area, it's, you know, deplorable for all the money that the casino's making. So, I mean, there's examples of that all over our country, and it goes on. And it's all money-driven. It's constantly money-driven. And it's got to stop one day.
All
we
right.
We got to do right for the people and the best interest of this country and stop the interest in money.
All right. Richard, thanks a lot. Thanks for your comments.
Have a nice day, Rob.
All right. You too. You too. 813-239-9663. Bill writes, and he says he gets his information about the safety of sunscreen from the Environmental Working Group. You can find them at EWG.org. And, Bill, thanks for that good suggestion. Liz is in Spring Hill. She says, Charles is right. Nathaniel is right. Doug is right. While the country is riveted by the 2020 election and the impeachment, they bring us great reminders to be aware what your local and state officials are doing while we are not watching. These are the seeds from which grew the whole culture of Trump. It's ridiculous, isn't it? We wouldn't know where or how our legislators live. No public notices, control the press, etc. Smells like some favor laying the foundation for modern fascism. That's a Liz in Spring Hill. Let's go to Rob in Thanodosassa. Hey, Rob, you're on WMNF. What would you like to comment about?
Hey, Rob, I'm really glad you brought up that story about the deputy shooting the dog, the homeless man's dog. I heard about it on the local news this morning, and I actually have a pit bull. I didn't know it was a pit bull. And, you know, they're really great dogs. Now, you said that the dogs, the police reported that he bit the horses.
Yeah, the report that I've got in front of me says twice. He bit one horse and then went back and bit another. That's the report
yes.
I've got. I have not read the full police report. I'm just reading from wire services right now.
Yeah, the local news said that the dog was running in between the horses. He was he had broken all his leash and was running in. I guess he was spooked by the horses, and the man who owned it was trying to get it, corral him, but he couldn't. And you know, it's like, I'm not sure which version is correct, but, you know, a homeless person, a lot of times a dog like that is all they have, and it protects them, it keeps them company, and, you know, the streets are very dangerous, and the difference maybe between getting hurt or, you know, rolled, as they say, is having a dog. So I can understand why the man was irate. I heard he was Baker acted after the dog was shot, and I can understand that, but, well... It's too bad the police can't show more restraint, and I wonder if it was a $2,000 poodle owned by someone, you know, dressed in Brooks Brothers clothes, whether they would have done the same thing, you know.
Well, and the sheriffs did try to taser the dog once. That didn't work, and apparently the dog charged again and bit a horse again. So I you know, certainly... This homeless guy needs his companion, probably the only companion he has. But then what do the police do if you know, the dog bites a horse, is tasered, and then bites another horse?
No, I understand that. Yeah. If that's true, it's understandable if the dog indeed did that. You know, like I said, what I heard this morning didn't mention that. It was on one of the local news affiliates. But, you know, if that's true, then you know, and they did try to tase it. I suppose it's just an unfortunate thing. You know, if that is what happened. But yeah, it's a sad thing because I'm sure that man is going to be extremely distraught over the loss of his companion.
Yeah. All right, Rob, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for
all
that.
Right.
And again, we've got open lines, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Bruce in Sarasota. Hey, Bruce, you're on MNF.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I just wanted to make a general comment about how to vote in the upcoming primary and elections. The most least likely method of voting to be counted is mail-in ballots. They're most often, of any other voting method, likely to be thrown out in the garbage because of signature issues. I think if you want to get your vote to count, you should definitely either go early or vote on election day, but I would recommend not doing mail-in ballots. I know it's maybe a little controversial, but it's the least secure of all the methods. Do you agree?
I think if your signature has changed, it's a huge problem. If your signature looks like it did when you first signed up to vote, then you might not be in trouble. I first signed up to vote in Hillsborough County in 1978, so I'm sure my signature has changed.
Yeah, but I think in terms of reviews of previous elections, they found...
Yeah, I agree with you that there's a problem, and we probably should have a longer discussion about it to make sure. But one telling point to me, Bruce, is that I've got friends across the political spectrum, you know, liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, Green, Libertarian. I notice that my Republican friends now all show up at the polls. That's what they do to make sure that their vote counts.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Bruce, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. Tony's in St. Petersburg and writes this. Senator Mitt Romney has just said that there are a number of Republican U.S. senators who want witnesses like John Bolton in the impeachment trial. I wonder where Florida's Senators Rubio and Scott are now on this. I hope people will phone their offices and call them, writes Tony in St. Petersburg. And Louise writes this. She said, I make an organic non-chemical sunscreen and have for a few years, which does not harm sea coral and is both UVA and UVB protected. I will share with your audience some naturally sun-protective ingredients, carrot seed and raspberry seed oils, and to a minor degree, shea butter, calendula flowers, almond oil. We don't need to pollute the seas to protect ourselves. That's Louise with Louise's Healing Calendula Salve. So, Louise, thank you for that. That might have been a commercial, but let's see when we can let that go. I didn't urge people to buy the product. Let's go to Robert in Port Charlotte. Robert, you're on M&F.
My wife's sister had a situation in Minnesota. She was walking the dog at a dog park, and all of a sudden, three unknown dogs attacked her, broke both of her legs. She had to go to the hospital. She's just now getting the cast off her leg, and no one knows who the owners of the dogs were. The only thing that helped her out was she had good insurance. But here she was for months with two broken legs.
And Robert, I can barely hear you, but your wife was walking the dog in the dog park, and three unknown dogs came up and bit her, and then she was in the hospital? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, she had to go to the hospital because both legs were broken, and they had to call the ambulance, and no one knows where the dogs came from, who they belong to, anything.
And is she worried now about getting a disease from the dogs, from the dog bite?
Well, it's not that, but afraid to walk the dog again.
Yeah, afraid to walk the dog again, yeah, or to take your dog to a dog park. All right, Robert, I hope your wife recovers. Thank you very much. I've taken my dog to numerous dog parks and never had that problem, thankfully. But let's go to Bob in Tampa. Hey, Bob, you're on M&F.
Hey, good show, Rob. Good stuff. You know what? It's got to be tough to be a cop these days. My cousin was one. He actually quit being a cop and became a fireman. I said, why would you do that? He says, because nobody says F the fireman. I said, oh, really? You know, everything you do, somebody has another comment. You shouldn't have done this. You should have done this something differently. I understand the situation. The dog, the way they handled it, I think it was fine. You could try to guess and judge and do all this stuff about what went on down there, but I think they probably handled it as best they could.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot. I'm sure it's going to be a controversy for days in some parts, but thank you very much. Thanks for the phone call.
Sure, thank you.
All right. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. In the next hour, Sean Cannan is going to have an in-depth discussion about growth and development. It's a huge issue in our area, whether or not you live in Hillsborough County or Sarasota, Manatee or Pinellas County or Pasco County or Hernando or Citrus or Hardy or anywhere. Here in the Bay Area, growth has become a huge issue. It costs local governments a lot of money, and Sean is going to have an in-depth discussion about growth and development in the next hour. If you want to comment about this program that you've heard for the past hour, you can call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning. Thanks to Frank Knox. He's our phone producer today. Stay tuned for the NPR News. This is